quick announcements. January the 13th, we'll have council meeting at 6 o'clock. We'll have it here in the Fellowship Hall. On the 26th, the Silly Youth will be going bowling at the YMCA from 1:30 to 3:30. If you have not filled out your information update paperwork, those papers are out in the narthex, if you could do that, please. We'll have a congregational, let's back up, annual audit reports and accounts will be done on February the 2nd. So if you are head of a committee, need to get those filled out, make sure you're ready to go on the 2nd. Then on the 23rd, we'll have the congregational meeting. And I believe after the congregational meeting on the 23rd, there'll be somebody here from the Senate office to talk about the call process and the call committee to get that rolling. Looks like we have got a thank you card here. Thank you for the Christmas bonus. Joey and I appreciate the opportunity to clean your church. Thank you, Edwina and Joey Louie. Also, one more announcement. Worship and Music Committee will meet this Wednesday at 6 p.m. Do we have any other announcements from the congregation? Thank you. Birthdays. Hey, birthdays. Birthdays, Mr. Gary Hedrick, Bobby Fritz, Michael Kepley. No anniversaries this week. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I invite those who are able to stand as we join in confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us.
We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with the light of your incarnate word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your life in all that we do, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
If the kids want to come up, we'll have a little sermon real quick. How are you guys this morning? Good? So you probably see over here, this is Jethro. He's Mary's service dog. So how many of you have pets? Got any dogs? Yeah? So why do we adopt dogs? Why do we have dogs? So they can turn into a service dog? Sometimes. Do we adopt dogs because we love them?
Yeah.
And they're cute?
Yeah.
And we just want to hug them all day?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's kind of like what God does with us, right? He adopted us as his children. He teaches us to serve and love others. And Jethro has a few talents. Like, we all have talents. You want to see one of Jethro's talents? Let's see if he'll listen. Sometimes he gets all this attention and it just overwhelms him. So he can lay down and roll over. Sometimes he'll shake. So Jethro has talents just like we have talents, right? And Jethro loves to give kisses to show Mary that he appreciates her and all the treats she gives him. She's got treats over there. He's not going to listen. So he gives kisses. Like, we pray to God and we come to church and we help others to show God that we appreciate him, right? So I'm not going to say we're dogs, but we are kind of like dogs. God adopted us as his children, like we adopt dogs and cats and snakes or whatever you want to adopt. And you love them and you care for them, right? So that's what God does for us. And Jethro's got a little toy over there. He's shy. So in the future, remember that God adopted us because he loves us and he gave us all individual talents, and we look different, we have different brains, we all think different, and he doesn't want us to be like anybody else. Just like, even in the same litter, you're not going to have the same puppy, are you? No, they're all different. Jethro's really different. He's really special. All righty, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us the talents and love so that we can spread them with everyone else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say,
Save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I'm going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together. A great company, they shall return here. With weeping, they shall come, and with consolations, I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd of a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. He grants peace within your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes.
He hurls down hail like crumbs. Who can stand before his soul?
He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow.
He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and ordinances to Israel.
He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his ordinances. Praise the Lord. The second reading is from Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ and with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, and to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavishes on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, and according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise and his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Did you remember that today is the 12th day of Christmas? All the stores and advertisers want you to think the 12 days of Christmas come before Christmas because they want you to go buy something on each of those days. But Christmas is the first day of Christmas. Today is the 12th. And yet, at least in my neighborhood, trees were out Christmas afternoon, already discarded and thrown away at the beginning, the first day of Christmas. Several years ago, there was a commercial for cell phones and technology. It focused on the passing of Christmas and the sale of course, electronic gadgets. In it, a man looks at the place the Christmas tree stood, and a voice over says, "Too bad Christmas is past." He then rushes outside to retrieve his tree. As he drags it back inside, he sees everyone else taking down their decorations. "Quitters," is his comment. Christmas has become so commercialized that we sometimes forget how the season works. Now, Christmas is the shortest season of the church year. It's only 12 days. Began on Christmas Day. Each year, I, kind of like the man in the ad, wish Christmas lasted a little longer. Easter is 7 weeks. Pentecost is over 20 weeks. Lent is 6 Sundays. Advent, 4 Sundays. Christmas is only 12 days. And with the growth of New Year's Eve as a holiday, it doesn't usually even get those 12 days. It gets forgotten quickly. And of course, in the stores and around the community, you start hearing Christmas carols right after Halloween, so probably a lot of people are tired of them. But the truth is that Christmas, in its 12 days, incorporates God's greatest gift to us, the gift of His Son. Today's gospel I wanted to spend some time on, and I will talk a little bit about Greek words. I try not to do that very much in sermons because most people, other than pastors and professors, don't care a whole lot about those words. But sometimes those words are important for how they're translated. In the beginning, John says, And that should remind us, because John is looking back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, he tells us, Jesus was with God at the beginning. He's now been born. John tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And we see in John who Jesus truly is in relation to God. Unlike the other Gospels who talk about Jesus' birth or infancy, John wants to talk to us about who Jesus is. Verse 5 tells us that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not overcome, some translations say, understand it. In verse 14, he goes on to say the Word became flesh. God presented himself as the Son in the light in darkness. And that reference to light again takes us back to Genesis. God is creator and creating light. Now, you may be aware that we don't really know the date of Christmas. But the church early in its history established the celebration of Christmas in December. It's a time where, in the northern hemisphere anyway, things tend to be dark and dreary. And in celebrating Jesus as the light of the world, it became an important part of that celebration. The light of the world comes in the darkest times, and that's when the light appears. John goes on to talk about not himself, but John, whom we know as the Baptist, but the writer of John, the evangelist, doesn't talk about him as John the Baptist. He talks about him as John the witness. He witnesses to Christ. The importance for John, the writer, that is the evangelist, is that people understand that in Christ's coming, we need to witness to that coming. And so he emphasizes the baptizer's role as a witness to who was to come, to Jesus. Jesus, as a child of God, is meant to teach us that we are also God's children. We can lose the baby Jesus in sort of romanticizing Christmas, all about little children. But to be a child of God is a literal promise of John's gospel. We are God's children by adoption. And God offers us everything that a child receives from a parent, for survival, for protection, to be sustained and nurtured, to grow and mature. God wants that for all of us and offers us that through Christ. When we see Jesus in the manger, we are to remember that we too were babes who were nurtured and reared by parents who loved us, and be reminded that God is like the parent who birthed us, the giver of our life. God wants us to be and be seen as his children. The Word became flesh and lived among us. And that living among us means to be a tabernacle with someone, to tabernacle, to tent with someone, that is to stay with someone, to stay with someone in a tent. It takes up residence. Some of you may be familiar with a little translation called The Message by Dr. Peterson. In that, he puts it this way: the Word moved into the neighborhood, that is, became one with us in our world as we are. And I like that image partly because it also reminds us of another neighborhood image, and that is Mr. Rogers. There's a new movie out about Mr. Rogers and Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and how Mr. Rogers, who was a Presbyterian minister, sought to incorporate in his work his faith, and in that wanted people to understand their connection with one another and the importance of being a community, of being a neighborhood. And that's what God did when he sent Jesus Into that manger, Jesus moved into our neighborhood, into our world, to remind us of who we are and to remind us of the depth of God's love. In the 16th verse, the evangelist goes on to say, from his fullness, grace comes. That word grace is only used four times in John's gospel, and only in this section of the gospel, the prologue that begins his story of Jesus' life. Once the word becomes flesh, grace is now part of who Jesus is and how he lives. So John doesn't use the idea of grace coming into us, rather grace living among us in Jesus and how Jesus taught and what Jesus did and how he lived. Grace is part of us. Verse 18 then looks back to say that no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. There are times I suspect we wish we could see God, sit down and talk with God, experience God's presence in our life. But no one has ever seen God. Even Moses, it says, got only a brief glimpse of God's backside. Other than that, no one has seen God, except John the evangelist tells us, everyone has seen God in Jesus. Jesus came so that we might see God and know God in the flesh. The Word was God, the only unique Son of God. And yet each of us is part of God's family by adoption. Jesus and God reveals God in a new and different way. And it says that Jesus, as the only begotten Son, is in a special relationship with the Father. Close to the Father's heart is what we read in the text today. Some translations say, an affection with which God loves his only child. Everything we need in life, here and now, God will give over and again. And what more nurturing image is there than a child at its mother's breast when it's newborn? And that's the image we have of Jesus, at God's breast, at God's bosom, drawn close to show the tenderness and love God has for Christ, but through Christ for each of us. The second verse that I want to really look at is John 18. No one has ever seen God, God the only Son, close to the Father's heart, close to his bosom, who has made him known. Not to have seen God troubles some people. Many of us have had times in our lives, I suspect, when we would like to experience that close presence of God, whether in times of illness or death or job loss, depression or loneliness, being disconnected from the people around us, dealing with the challenges that come almost daily, it seems. But because we cannot see God, Christ came to be what John Calvin once called God's condescension, God becoming finite and vulnerable to be truly available to us and to allow us to experience the depth of his love and his presence in our life. These verses remind us that Christmas is not just a season. It's a way of life. Christmas is not over when we reach Epiphany, which is tomorrow. It's only starting all over again. The season passes, but hope and life it promises are just beginning. Christmas reminds us of God's decision to become one of us, to take on our life and our circumstances so that we may have hope, that in the midst of the struggles of mortal life, which Christ shared with us, we have the promise of eternal life which awaits us. It's not just a season or a celebration. It is a way of life. A reminder that our lives matter to God. Our welfare is important to God. There is no worry too small, no challenge too great that God does not want to share it with us. We're invited to go to Him in prayer, to explore His Word, to experience His grace in all the circumstances of life, because God decided to come to us in a form that we can see and understand. We are empowered to reach out to those around us so that we might be Christ to them and allow them to experience God's presence in a physical way. On the second and last Sunday of Christmas, let us think of it as the first Sunday of a new year, when we strive harder to more fully copy and live out God's will for us. He came among us in grace and mercy and love so that the light might continue shining even in the darkest places, because the light overwhelms the dark. I want to close with a short poem by Howard Thurman. It's called The Work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoners, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. In closing, I invite you to remind yourself every day for a week or a month these simple phrases: I am a child of God whom God loves. Therefore, I can love myself and others. God can use me to change the world if I allow it. Will you let God use you this year to change the world in which we live? Amen. seated. We will have the installation of the council and officers at this time. Martin.
These persons have been elected and selected
by the congregation to positions of leadership. In holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ liberated you from sin and death and made you members of his church. Through word and sacrament, you have been nurtured in faith. St. Paul writes, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same Lord gives to everyone ability for particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. 1 Corinthians 12. You have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith reflect him in whose name we gather. You are to work together with other members to see that the worship and work of Christ are done in this congregation and that God's will is done in this community and indeed in the whole world. You are to be diligent in your specific area of serving that the one Lord who empowers you is glorified. You are to be examples of faith, active in love, to help maintain the life and harmony of this congregation. On behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, are you willing to accept and faithfully to carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected? If so, answer yes by the help of God. Will the congregation please stand? People of God, I ask you, will you support these your elected leaders, and you will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? Will you support, assist, encourage, and pray for them? If so, answer yes by the help of God.
Yes, by the help of God.
I now declare you installed as officers and council members of this congregation. God bless you with his Holy Spirit, that you may prove faithful servants of Christ. As we worship the newborn Son of God, let us also pray that he may bring healing, salvation, and peace to the church, the world, and all its people. A Word made flesh who dwells among us, make your church a faithful steward of the mysteries of Christ. Raise up faithful pastors and teachers of your word and holy sacraments. Conform its worship to the adoration of the angels and the faithful reverence of all those who came to worship the babe. Give it words to proclaim your glory and your love, especially to those who do not know you. You are pleased to dwell in our midst. Bless this congregation and those who have assumed office and leadership in the congregation with joyful hearts, fervent worship, eager witness, loving service, and kindly fellowship, so that in all we say and do, we bear witness to you, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. O Prince of Peace, silence the taunts and break the spears of persecution against your servants throughout the earth, especially during this season of light. Turn their suffering for the sake of your name into great joy, and transform their tormentors into confessors of your undeserved love. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the light of the world, your dear Son, Jesus. Thank you that in him you reveal your mercy and loving kindness to all people. Thank you that in him you reveal yourself as Lord and God of every kindred, nation, and tribe. Conform the rulers of this world to your glorious and gentle rule. Teach them to do your will, to love, justice, and mercy, to walk humbly with you, and to be a blessing to the people entrusted to their care. Put your Spirit upon the leaders of this and every nation. Make them prefer mercy over might, righteousness over renown, and integrity over influence. Lord, in your mercy. You are the heaven-born Prince of Peace, but in this sinful world, violence and warfare trouble your people. Let your holy angels shield, strengthen, and direct the words and actions of all in the military, all first responders, and anyone whose work is difficult and dangerous. Give their loved ones comfort and joy and homecomings that are filled with solace, healing, and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Bring the light of Christ to everyone who dwells in darkness, in shadows of suffering, sin, or sorrow, and sickness. We pray especially this day for Burnett, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Walter, the family of Sheila Haynes, Aldine, Teresa, Mandy, Brody, Sharon, Gracie, Jean, Dwight, Noah, James, Lore, Tyler, Judy, Robert, the family of Joyce Roach, Gary, Garland, Cleston, Kenneth, Charlotte, Colton, Lynn, Kay, Jordan, Madison, the family of Ben Klein, Randy, Tommy, Eva Ray, our service men and women all over the world, those unemployed and looking for work. Give competence, compassion, and patience to everyone charged with their care. Grant health and hope according to your merciful wisdom, and let the great good news of your birth among us adorn their suffering with hope and joy. Lord, in your mercy. In you, dear Jesus, we see the eternal love of your Father's heart and the eternal glory of his kingdom. We thank you for drawing those who have died into your kingdom. Wipe away the tears from everyone whose grief runs deep. Prepare us too for your kingdom, and lead us into the bright courts of heaven when our life's journey is done. Lord, in your mercy. Hear and mercifully grant us, dear Lord, all that we ask that conforms to your good and perfect will for us, for your name's sake. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Let's use the mission statement. As United People of God,
peace, serve the Lord.